Okay, this is board time on Wednesday, April 9th.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we got a very thin agenda, only one item on it, and that is commissioner appointment timeline. As everybody knows, Commissioner Stewart's last day is this Friday. He goes to the city of Richfield on Monday, the 14th, and that vacancy has got to be filled, and Axel's going to walk through the process that he believes we ought to follow to do that.
Well, that's one of the things that we were curious about, and since the research that I've done, I can't, I mentioned it here, it's been proposed to us that we've done our part. We've composed a letter and sent it to the Democratic Party, recognizing the vacancy officially with them. And so, reading the newspapers, that the Democratic Party wants to do a rating of that. And so we're in the research right now to see if we have to recognize a rating of candidates. I thought we had a choice of choosing one of three candidates. So that's where we are today with that.
I don't know of anything in the statute or the Constitution that requires you to recognize a rating. Yeah. It is, I assume, their offer of assistance to you that may help guide you. But I don't think you're bound by any rating. You could pick number three or you could pick number one.
And so far, it's only a rumor. So after we get three names presented to us, we'll address it more formally at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? Article 2, Section 15 only says that they'll name three candidates or their term in the Constitution as nominees and that you're to pick from one of them.
Right.
So the fact that there's no limiting language in the provision gives you the ability to pick any one of those three.
I remember, I think you went back and researched for me the word viable.
Yeah,
you
it's not
they
in the
three viables, but no, they could give us three unviables.
Well, presumably, they're only
the viability is a matter of opinion, I would guess.
Well, certainly right. It has subjective components, but it also
if their names on the list, they're assumed viable.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
So, what? Well, no. So you're right, Commissioner Milka. We took step one. We sent the letter to the party, informing them of the vacancy, the time that takes effect, and then asking for the three nominees. My assumption is we'll get the three nominees fairly quickly, and then we'll have some more decisions to make. We'll talk more about when we want to conduct interviews and how we want to conduct interviews, materials we may want ahead of time. Maybe they want to submit resumes. I've done this a number of times, and it plays out a little differently each time, but pretty much along the same line. You'll get, in my experience, you'll get a flood of probably communication from people who want to support candidates. So maybe we'll talk about how to deal with that.
That'd be interesting to properly weigh those.
So the 60-day clock starts exactly
with Friday at midnight, I think, is when, as soon as the vacancy actually occurs. And
I'm sure we're going to get it done within 60 days.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to get this nomination.
I've been known to be thorough, but not that thorough.
Once we get the names, we'll establish the process.
And I heard that some new names popped up. So how they handle, I don't know. So
all the flexibility they want, and I assume they'll provide three names in a letter sometime soon.
Okay.
So we welcome them when they come.
All right. Moving on.
Okay. Well, that was the only agenda item. It is spring break week, and we've got a bunch of folks.
Have you noticed?
Traveling about. No tie, Commissioner Madore. No tie, Madore. We'll call it. No tie, Milky.
When you need a vacation,
no jacket.
I thought I'd go
in the same time.
Of course, Chris Warren is always his dapper self.
Dapper. That's it.
We're at it.
Yeah.
Tie out of respect for you.
Very nice color combination.
This is not my spring break costume. I forgot my tie this morning. You were the first one that pointed it out. Where's your tie?
802. I said, where's your tie?
Hey, Chris, come on.
You have so much tie in your office.
So much
for
going unnoticed, right?
It was a rough night.
It was a rough night. We had C-Tran last night. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, I did see the paper this morning. They were driving on.
Which, you mean the
Rapid Transit or whatever?
don't matter what the vote is. Doesn't matter if we have a vote. Well, a little frustrating.
Well, elections matter.
Thank you, Chris.
Questions for me, sure.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. And.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, beyond that, dude.
Mr. Medore.
I'm good.
Oh, man, you're too easy.
We have to go at least 15 minutes. we can't.
I got him.
Somebody has to tell Steve it's going way too fast and easy. And like, what is
that's right. Not.
That's 2.0.
Our administrator likes to go last. So, Axel, sure. You have anything for us?
I'm doing lots of stuff, but it's stuff that's sort of ongoing, and I'm just keeping all the balls rolling in the right direction. A lot of
so what else is
this week's been a lot of constituent stuff, catch up, follow up stuff. But
I can help him on
trying to keep them all happy.
Yeah, work that he's been doing on the economic development position and the research assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I met with Julie Alexander this morning.
When are we going to get them posted?
22nd of April. There will be a staff report.
22nd? What's the hang
well,
up?
We missed the cutoff for the 15th.
Good thing you don't have 60
days.
You're
talking about, was there a public notice for something like that?
No, we're doing an add delete, and the board has the authority to do those. You could delegate that to me if you'd like, and I could do it, and then we wouldn't have to wait.
Go.
But,
we do need a third commission.
We've been working on this way too long.
And you'll remember that the add delete is a little more high-level administrative because when you delete the one position and add one over here, now we're shifting where the budget, right? I mean, where the budget has to be expended from.
So. Well, actually, we'll have to do that in a supplemental.
Anyway,
in other words, give your staff enough time to walk through the process and make sure you get the whatever add delete kind of process you need to do.
Exactly. That's a board action, and so on the 22nd, it'll be on the consent agenda, boom. And then the other half of it, I have the authority to approve, and that'll be done in the next 5 days.
So I just talk about adding, maybe we do it on the 15th to get done sooner. And I say that because I just sent an email out. Mary Lee had put on their marijuana issue, the citing of marijuana things.
Yeah, that hearing's
we did the notice of public hearing a couple of weeks ago in a consent hearing. We announced to the world that we were going to do this. Now we're going
to. I'm not prepared to move forward with that, putting that on the consent calendar, and I'm not prepared to take action. We just heard of a legal thing that had to do with placing of marijuana.
Well, the big decision that came out was the old work we were doing around collective gardens and the Medical Cannabis Act and whether or not you can ban or not ban those. The hearing on Tuesday is just for you two to get that first look at what the Planning Commission's recommended and what the staff has put together as the I-502 recreational marijuana zoning code.
So
my understanding is it includes the language we talked about at the work session.
So here's my problem. I don't want to go through testimony half the day. We've already heard from everybody who wants it. This is educational for us to go through and be more up to tune as to what's going on and what our staff has come up with, right? So why wouldn't we do that during a work session instead of at the hearing?
It's a fair question why we didn't go from the Planning Commission recommendation back to the board with a work session, then a hearing. I've seen it done both ways. So I think maybe the planning staff, and partly it may be my fault because I didn't jump in there and say, well, hold on. Because I think
the legislature didn't do any action at all on any of the bills that they have. The federal government hasn't done anything. The only thing we have is a court case. And the court case doesn't help us other than tell us our standing of where we are. So what action would we want to take?
Well, I think that's what the hearing is for, is they're going to present to you the Planning Commission's recommendation for a zoning code, and then they're going to say, do you like it, do you not?
We haven't even legalized it yet.
Well, but you could take three steps. You could ban marijuana uses under I-502. You could adopt a zoning code to cite them, or you could ask to continue the hearing because you want more work done, or you could ask for a work session because you want more work done. So, I mean, you can do any of those three things.
How much more time do we have with our moratorium?
I think we re-upped it through June. It's through 6 months, I think.
Yeah,
it was
6 months. Yeah. Because
a question?
This very, very possibility.
I think it's important that we are timely and that we move things along. The reason that we picked June is so that we have a time to get through the process. Why don't we do this? If those documents already exist from the Planning Commission, from the staff, why don't you just simply provide them to us so that we can have them in our hands, mm-hmm. we can read them, highlight them, come up with notes and whatever, and then we can come back to the next at a board time if you put it on when you're ready.
That's what I would
and
like
then we'll that. Then we'll say whether or not that we want to where do we go from there? The work session?
I would think that we would lay it out if at the end of the moratorium we decide to ban, then everything else is mute. So while it's educational and more knowledge as we move forward with what we can do and what the options are and where they might be located, why take action on that if there's a possibility of banning it later?
Well, I think where we left it is that the intention was for us to get all the way through the process of defining an ordinance. And so we do have a process. We do comply with the state law that says you come up with something. But also that ordinance will include the same provision as Pierce County that said that our staff cannot accept permits while that is on the federal controlled substance list. And so we will have finished our process, but we need to also uphold federal law that says, yeah, you still got to be able to do that before we can have our own staff be exposed to the liability of it being accessories to a federal thing. So that covers both, because we want to comply with state and federal law.
If we go through it, this is like leading somebody on, and it's a big letdown. Either we have to make a decision to accept it, and in fact, I'm not real sure right now if we can legally ban it, if we choose to ban it.
I think there was an AG opinion, State of Washington Attorney General, opined that we can.
Well, they made another hearing. There's actually a court case that came up after that in Northern County.
Well, there's two things right now. On the recreational side, Mark is correct. The Attorney General came out. I think it was the city of Yakima asked for the opinion as to whether cities and counties can ban I-502 related uses. And I think the Attorney General came back and very clearly said, we believe they can. The other opinion just got handed down from the State Court of Appeals. So that was the city of Kent that banned medical marijuana collective gardens. And the State Court of Appeals came down and said, yes, they can. They do have that authority. And I think they even went a little further than that. But there is no, I don't believe there is a court decision at this time that says that you have the authority to ban I-502 uses, but there is an AG opinion out there that supports it.
Yeah, it hadn't been tested yet.
That makes sense.
It will be tested, I'm sure.
And I think that kind of revolved right around that Pierce County language.
So has any other county in the state taken action to legalize marijuana in any fashion?
I believe so. I believe there's a kind of a host of different approaches among municipalities. For instance, the city of Vancouver has owned it. And, you know, I'm sure other cities, counties have done.
Haven't they actually issued a permit?
I saw that the city of Camas just re-upped their moratorium on I-502.
But city of Vancouver issued a permit, right?
I think there was a story about, the first.
I'm looking for
a growing process.
Yeah.
Was it not a retail?
Yeah. So it's been a mix around the state.
So
some are zoning, some are banning.
So the point is still there. I'm not prepared to go to a hearing on it.
And we can change the schedule as the commission desires. But I understand the distinction here. Commissioner Mielke, you're saying that if we put together an ordinance that makes it appear as though we're going to allow the siting of these facilities, then that the folks that are excited about doing it are going to expect it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then if subsequently we ban it, well, then all those folks, they might have invested money, they might have done other things in preparation, and then we say no can do. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Madora, you're suggesting that we do the homework in advance, have it sitting on the sideline, and if the feds ever take marijuana off the controlled substance list, we've done our homework and we got a product almost ready to go.
More than that. Go ahead.
Almost. Because our message, at least my message, has been to everyone consistently that we will uphold both state and federal law, so we're not giving some false pretense out there that you can assume that, sure enough, as soon as we get this ordinance, you can go ahead and apply. No, we're saying the exact exactly that we will do everything we know to comply with the federal and the state and include both of those provisions in an ordinance that is done. It doesn't sit aside and say, well, we're going to put it on hold. No, it's finished, but the requirement says you need to be able to, you really can't accept any permits until it complies, until it comes off the federal control.
So you would actually enact the code section but have the caveat in there about the feds?
That's what I'm inclined to do at this point, but
I
think what we need...
That's the existing recommendation.
Okay.
I've got to check that, but I believe that's where the Planning Commission...
I want to talk with Chris Horn about this, just simply one-on-one, to ensure that we do the most responsible thing. Because if these things are... we want to make sure we send a message not only just to those people that are interested, but we also send the right message to the next generation. They think, oh, if everybody thinks it's okay, I'll go ahead and just, you know, pick up that lifestyle. I want to make sure that we understand the message we're sending to our community. But I also want to make sure that we minimize the risk of the county of our exposure and losing a lawsuit. So whichever one of those things hits the sweet spot when it comes to minimum liability for the county, the right message to the community, and fulfilling state and federal law. That's what I'm trying to find. And I don't have enough right now to know what that is until I get more input, in particular with Chris Horn and whatever else. We can gain insight from the other counties as well and say, how did you sort yours out? And find the safest ground from each of those counties.
Okay, so how about we do this then, Commissioner Rodora? You said get all the documents related to this hearing,
yep,
were it to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Get those to you.
When it's ready.
Well,
as soon as it's ready.
Yeah. And then maybe have Oliver and Chris Horn come to one-on-ones on Monday, and we can talk about it if you'd be ready then.
What we're going to hear, because this hearing is scheduled and has been noticed for Tuesday, so we're kind of...
This coming Tuesday?
Yes.
The 15th.
And largely the questions that you just asked, I mean, I think I won't speak for Gordy, but I think if Gordy was here, he'd say, we've got all that for you. That's what we're going to show you.
I mean, I have a voicemail from him here because I sent him a note, and
okay.
I can't listen to it.
I'm sure what he would say is we've got the code language. It's been run through the Planning Commission meeting and a number of hearings.
And Chris Horn's participated in putting
that. And Chris would be there Tuesday to answer those questions. But it's however you want to do it. I just want you to be aware that we do have this out there noticed and teed up. So there will be some public interface that needs to happen with sort of shifting gears if we're going to cancel the hearing.
And that public notice, we reviewed it together when we go through the consent agenda book because it was noticed in a consent hearing previously. And so the time to have said, no, let's not do this, would have been then as opposed to now. But
I think it's a lot more respectful to put out a notice now that it's been pulled from the agenda. And here's what I'd like to be. I believe that we're in agreement that until the feds make it legal, that no matter what we put together, we're waiting for the feds to legalize it. So to give someone a misconception that you could possibly locate right here, or you could possibly sell right here, and you could grow right here, it's the wrong place to go. We're giving the wrong message by saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. You can put it here and all that, but you can't do it unless the Fed says it's legal.
And that's right up front, I think, in the recommendation.
I think that's what we need to stay up front and say, you know, great, come and show us. You go out there and you go publicly and say, this is where all these circles are intermixed, and this is where we can grow, and this is where we can sell. People are going to take it as to, well, this is where I'm going to grow, and this is where I'm going to sell.
Are you saying, Axel, that you've said a couple of times, I heard you say, and that's right up front with the recommendation, are you saying that what Commissioner Milkey just said is going to be the recommendation of the Planning Commission?
I didn't make the last Planning Commission recommendation, but I'm very certain that what the Planning Commission did is adopt language that there is a zoning code there, but the very front end clause is that Pierce County language that you all talked about at the work session that says we will not accept any applications for I-502 uses until marijuana is rescheduled or whatever it's called, under the Controlled Substance Act.
So it just says...
But the first part of that, Axel, are you saying that the Planning Commission is saying more in line with what Commissioner Medora is saying, that they feel that you should go ahead and cite them according to state law and then have the Pierce County language in there? Or are they saying, as Commissioner Mielke is saying, let's not do that at all, give false hopes?
I believe what the Planning Commission recommendation does on its face is bans I-502 related uses in Clark County, period.
So,
but there is a code attached to it that, you're right, people could look at the code and say, if marijuana were legal in America or in, you know, rescheduled, then this is where Clark County says that the different zoning and uses could go.
Yeah.
So that piece is attached to the front-end statement that says, until this is legal federally.
Is that Planning Commission document available somewhere right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it on
so
the
you
grid?
Can provide it to us?
Should be, yeah.
Well, then it'll be clear so, what they say.
So it makes sense to not put it on the agenda and give false hope and burn up more time again and have the public come down and not really go anywhere with it in respect to their time. I think they either come back to a one-on-one with us or have another work session and bring us up to date with the courts. We know that the federal and the state government have made no action whatsoever. So the only thing we could reference are court cases. And then on a one-on-one, we wouldn't be giving false hopes to somebody else. But I think our staff was tasked with going back and saying just that. This is where it would be allowed if you were to allow it.
Well, we talked, remember we had that big work session out there, and what we talked about at that time with the planning staff was, we've got a moratorium in place. We may be headed towards a ban because we were talking about the Pierce County language, but let's not waste the time, and we're doing the work anyway, so let's work as a staff and with the Planning Commission as though this was legal, so that we've done that work. And so that if someday it becomes legal, we've already done the work, we've been through the hoops, we've got a code in place. But we'll leave that clause in place that says we are still respecting and recognizing that this substance is illegal under federal law.
I think somewhere down the way I heard that we can't just keep kicking the can down the road, that somewhere we're going to either draft something up with the stoplight at the end of it, or
I just spoke to Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
He said we're following the Pierce County model, and that there is an express part of the code that says none of this code shall be in effect unless the federal government legalizes marijuana.
So I would like to have a chance to review the Planning Commission work, what they recommended, and see what staff had to do.
Okay.
And then decide whether or not it warrants another action.
Okay.
So let's do that.
Okay. And what Gordy said was that if we scrub the hearing, we're going to have a bucket load of very angry people.
I'm going to have a bunch of angry people if they come down here and we scrub it. Because basically what they're going to do, they're going to come down here, say the same thing they said before, and we're going to say, I'm sorry, we're not taking action on this.
Or we do take action, and we approve the code
language.
We're going
to take action without looking at the Planning Commission's recommendations.
No, we're going to get those to you. But
that's what the hearing is for, is to give those to you, to give the recommendations.
I'm supposed to look at those and make the decision at the same time?
No, we'll get them to you in advance. You'll have them for 4 or 5 days before the hearing.
So it's degrees.
Today's Wednesday and next Tuesday, so.
Yeah, it's 6 days.
The sun's out.
What are you going to say?
I think,
well, I was
going to
say it's degrees of disappointment.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have the hearing and they come and they get you say, okay, we're going to do the ordinance because we want to have it in place as a package over here in the event that the feds do legalize it, then they're going to say, okay, well, good, they've moved the ball down the court a little bit. We like that. Then they're going to say, eek, screech. However, we're still throwing in the Pierce County language. Then they're going to be upset about that. But if they don't get their hearing and they don't get the ball moved down the court a little bit, they'll be more upset. So it's degrees of upsetness.
And there's no gauge.
I'd rather have them upset with me one time.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Enough on that.
Okay.
So we'll get you the documents and we'll get the right people in the room to
walk through your concerns before we have a hearing.
Well, we're canceling the hearing on Tuesday is what I'm hearing from the board.
Yes.
Well, the chairman
No, I'm not canceling the hearing. We're canceling the marijuana issue on that's on the hearing.
Well,
that is the only hearing I think we have Tuesday.
Yeah, we have a consent hearing, and then we have a public hearing on marijuana. So the public hearing on marijuana is what we're going to reschedule.
Yes.
And to answer your question, the chairman sets the agenda, so I respect that.
Okay.
And this,
does
and
he also get to pick
my
off
fault.
Of the list of three?
My fault.
He gets one shot of that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Settled that one.
I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask Axel if he had anything on the agenda. Oh, it was past that.
Well, did I bring that up? I don't remember.
And we're past 15 minutes too.
I got more stuff for Axel when I come down here. Hollywood, do you have something for us? I'm not going to ask.
I'm busy doing stuff, but nothing for the board.
All right.
Thank you.
I have a couple items. One, I found some interesting things. Food for thought. Hernando County started to regulate the wearing of jewelry and tattoos, and it came up because of the professional image that they were not displaying, and it came up when a firefighter had some tattoo of an obscene thing on his arm. So it's food for thought. So I guess if you
hang on just a second.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to get mine too.
Yeah, I'll go get my nose pierced.
So I guess you know they're concerned with the obscene tattoo, is what they're referring to in the professional image. So I don't think we have that issue, but I think it's something should be in the back of our minds.
Well, I think we have appearance standards in our HR policy.
You're talking, about employees?
Yes.
County employees?
Yeah. And I think it deals not so much with tattoos, but of the obscene.
Well, I watched all those videos you're supposed to watch, you know, and sign up.
That was in Florida, by the way.
One of them was that you can't create a hostile work environment by having obscene tattoos, materials, any kinds of things like that, and that would take care of that.
Some people were offended when we put the flag on the fire trucks. Remember that? Anyway, and the other one that I thought was just an FYI was interesting. In Missouri, Phelps County, they had on-the-road hearings outreach to the community for having our commissioner board hearing. So
oh boy!
They
okay.
would.
we did that in Gallatin too. And
did you?
We would do a quarterly meeting up in Tootle, mm-hmm. and we'd do a quarterly meeting out in Woodland. You know, we do one a quarter. You know, a couple a year.
Yeah.
And it. I had kind of mixed emotions about it. I think it was nice to get out to a different place.
They were
the attendance, I don't know, you know, it was good at sometimes, not at others, depending on what was on the agenda. We would try to schedule things on the agenda that were happening in that area, you know, so we'd talk about it.
Yeah. It can be difficult.
When we awarded the paper of record, we should have gone to the Battleground City Hall.
Yeah, maybe. But we didn't know what we were going to do exactly at the time. It was up for discussion and debate and the stats. And the other thing, since that, there's another scoring mechanism that newspapers have. I don't know if you saw it or not, and it had the Reflector scored at 87 and the Columbian scored at 82. And I forgot all the things that were in that scoring mechanism, but it's much like other professional organizations score themselves.
Peer ratings?
Where'd
you see this?
I have to go back and look.
Okay.
That'd
be interesting to see.
I read so much stuff, sorry. So. The other thing I wanted to do, I wanted to make sure that we continue to remind Animal Control to do progress reports as to how they're doing on their...
I got a follow-up. I have a call. I'm trying to talk to Calhoun County because you had mentioned, and I had talked to somebody up there, that they had some automated system, at least for permits. I'm not sure if Animal Control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they were using iPads in the field or something.
We were wanting to know how do we would start into phase one.
Yeah.
That would work with the phase three.
I'll call Nick Little up there or something.
Yeah. So I just don't want to go to sleep. Another thing that we're duty bound to do, as different positions come open, if we do salary setting, and we haven't discussed this, we have a salary setting is done with the commissioners before the person is elected. For example, we've done this every year, or every year as it comes up, and that's how they get these different steps for commissioners and what the commissioners' salaries are. So I think that we probably should either have a work session or pull up the history of what we've been doing and what we've been on. We kind of messed it up a little bit. I froze mine 5 years ago, committed my raise to local 501c3s, and then the last time I was elected, I froze my salary at the old one and continued to donate my raises to local 501c3s. I think, Commissioner Madora, you take 80% of your salary. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm $102,000. Steve Turret was $106,000. I think you might be $106,000.
I think
minus the 20.
Mm-hmm. Minus the 20. So I think that we probably should address the issue.
Of commissioner salaries?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we can pull the history, see what's been done. So typically, the way that works is when you do a vote on it, and then it doesn't take effect until after your next term of office starts, right? So
you have to do it before the term of office.
Is that by RCW?
Yeah. So you can't vote yourself a raise
We're under contract, right?
In office.
Or I can't decrease my salary or increase my salary.
Right.
It's set up on like a contract, and the way the contracts were in the past, we were given about a $2,000 raise every year. So that's like a 2%. But we messed it all up.
Did you guys have a salary commission then?
Ourselves. Salary commissions, I don't believe in. That's just people that work for me that supposed to decide what I make.
So you're thinking on lowering the salary, right?
You know, I would entertain that. But the other part of that of concern is that other elected officials' salaries are based on the highest paid commissioner. So that needs to be in consideration.
A lot of times you'll have the other county electeds. You're right. I think they make a percentage of the commission or something. You know, mm-hmm. It'll read that way.
Yeah. So it's something that we need to address down the road.
Okay. Well, I'm curious. If there's a formula that other elected officials set their salary according to the commissioner's salary. If the commissioners ended up reducing the official salary of our own. Then that really never lowers anybody's salary. It always either stays the same or goes up, right? All the other electeds.
If you were going to vote to lower the salary, again, I'm speaking off the recollection of when we worked on this, but you can't lower a raise in term. So it would be for whoever wins the next election. Now that very well could be you, but very well could be someone else. And so you're always going for that next term. Is what that salary will be set at. I'm fairly confident on what I know about your ability to raise it. Your ability to lower it, well, I have to do some research and look into it because it is, I think, commonly tied to a formula with the other elected officials. So then you'd be making a decision about, in that case, lowering or raising those other elected officials' salary in that next term.
It would help the freeholders because they want to lower it down to 55.
I saw that.
We could start with Stewart's position.
But I think they would have to
help them out.
They would have to decouple the compensation for the other elected officials from the commission, because Greg Kinsey going to take a 50% pay cut? He's not going part-time.
I don't know what they've done.
That language is in there. They do uncouple.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then
do you know what it is now? Is it like 80%?
And I think they're recommending that we tie into
I don't think they've thought it all the way through. Then they also suggested going to a salary commission. Will salary commission return around and give us all the money right back anyway?
Well, we went to a salary commission in Cowlitz. And actually in Cowlitz it was funny because the other elected officials made more than the commissioners there because we, as commissioners, we could vote to give them a bump, whereas it's very difficult to vote to give yourself a bump, right? I mean, it's just, it's just, it is what it is. And so there I don't think we had a formula, but we went to a salary commission. And the way a salary commission works is it's a random drawing of people from the voter roll. That's who's on your salary commission. So it's very
except that what this Board of Freeholders is recommending is that we tie to the state board.
Right, okay. But there is no salary commission. They do not. They're not backing a local salary commission.
Yeah, no, we're tied to the
state. Well, they changed it again?
That's my recollection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My recollection, when we set one up in Cowlitz, it was they basically, I mean, they literally draw off the voter roll, and they contact those people, and they say, are you interested in being on a salary commission? If they say yes, then that's who it is, and you don't know who you're going to get.
I was under the understanding that the salary commission was a paid group of people that turned around, and they looked at your community and compared it with other communities and paid you comparable, and that's something that I've always had a problem with. I mean, you look at Seattle, their councilman, they're down to 9 from 13, and they draw about $140,000. You go to Snohomish, they have their own staff. So whether they get paid more or less, they have two or three staff of their own that bumps them up to about $200,000. So I think that we could step up, and you're right about that, because all the other elected officials are also under contract. So if we were to lower that, their contract would be finished out at the rate for which they are at, and then upon their re-election, that position would pay a percentage as it now stands. Like, for example, I think I understand the sheriff makes the same as commissioners.
I think they usually make more,
but I got to research.
Is it still based on the commissioner's salary?
Yes.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be too bad because that position is up for election too. So anyway, it's something to recognize and do the research on and and see what it is, because
we certainly can pull the history and see what's been done.
All right, and I had marijuana on my list too. And the other thing, we got something that was on here. I was going through this, and it had something about impact fees and something that we haven't seen come back.
I bet it's concurrency and the CFP stuff.
Yeah. And one of my questions was, we have more impact fees than what is written down here. For example, we have a school impact fee, and I'm not sure...
We don't send that one,
though. No, I'm not sure.
That's outside our purview.
We authorize that, I believe.
We do.
And they set as a recommendation, and we authorize or not authorize it. So while we're looking at those, that'd be something else to have Axel look for as to... I was trying to coordinate these two lists, and they're not quite the same.
Yeah, the new one and the old one.
And the formats are a little bit different, so I was having difficulty. So I guess what it is that when we talk about impact fees, we need to recognize and talk about all impact fees because they all affect our community.
Well, I'll get you some information on the impact fees. The work that's being done right now in terms of like a big project that will have impact fees aren't directly being looked at. What's being looked at is our concurrency policy, and inherent in that is looking at our long-term capital finance plan, and that's going to come back to you guys. Now, the idea in there is if you alter in some way when concurrency is triggered, and you alter in some way the amount and number of capital facilities projects that you have to plan to fund, that will ultimately alter.
You're talking about traffic impact fees,
yeah,
only with concurrence.
And so what I can do is get you some other information on how park and school impact fees,
yeah,
and those come into play. But typically, like Mark said, typically it's a little outside of our purview, other than you do have to approve them, and you do get a recommendation from the districts on what those should be, and you have to agree or disagree with,
right,
that.
We have scheduled, and we must be getting really close to excess properties.
30th. April 30th.
You told,
yeah,
me that before. We had on both things. Did we give up on the quiet zone, or were we taking that to the neighborhood to see if they wanted to pay for it?
We haven't given up on it. In fact, we brought on Tom Walsh, and I'm working with Matt Hall in Public Works on it, and I just communicated with some of the citizens, and I'm going to put a citizen meeting back together because we came out of... What happened was the project the median didn't work, and it became got to a point to where it was more expensive than what we were willing to.
The $20,000.
That's right. And so it was going to take the neighborhood getting together and helping to pay for it. And so what we needed to do and what we need to do is decide on, you know, the most safe, least expensive path forward for those residents out there if they are going to help pay for it. So we've been talking Wayside Horn demonstration, and we just got some pricing from Burlington Northern on the quadrant gates. And so we're going to have a meeting hopefully very soon on deciding, okay, you know, here's the cost estimate for this, here's the cost estimate for this, here's about how many folks in the neighborhood we think would be interested to help pay for it. Which one are we going to go with?
Do we have gates now?
There are gates down there, and they close on opposite sides. So what the FRA wants is
that's
four gates.
That's what they want on the curb.
They want four gates so that no one can drive
around
that gate. And they're expensive.
And that's what you're taking back to the neighborhood.
Yeah. The other one that you know, I've set up the meeting next week on we've got the meeting with all the parties next week on the youth house and, mm-hmm, to explore the Dolly building. And I've got some documentation. I guess I'll get to you ahead of time about square footage, prices, what's available, and what the market rate is, and what the programs are,
okay,
that kind of stuff.
And tenant compatibility.
Yeah.
Compatibility.
Yeah. And I think the realtor for the Dolly building will join us at that meeting.
WASAC, legislative liaison. We need to. You are the legislative liaison with WASAC. So have you been in conversation with them?
I only call them if I need help researching something. But let me check. I think I'm actually
put that on your agenda when you're talking to them.
Because you were Steve's backup.
Yeah.
So I would assume that you become the primary.
Yeah. I thought there was something scheduled.
Tina and I will also need a representative
on
the Law and Justice Council, because Commissioner Stewart was the rep on our county's Law and Justice Council, which is a council that's required by RCW. I don't believe the commissioner's required to be on it, but in my opinion, it's good to have a commissioner.
It's been really informative. The information that Steve brought back to us was really informative. And
so, you know, that's something to think about.
And it's really important to play a part in legislative process because it affects us so much.
Yeah.
And I know that he was instrumental in being influential. So another thing I had, how far along is Bonneville getting along? One of the first things we wanted to do at Bonneville was have a law enforcement shooting range out there. That was one of the first things, and I didn't know if we were even close to that or not.
I think there was a potential partnership with the FBI. I'll check with Jerry Burnett.
No problem, that'd be good. I just didn't know if the cleanup had done enough that we could go into one area and start for law enforcement in that area. That'd be a good step to get done.
I'm not sure either. We have to talk to Public Works or Jerry.
Yeah, I'll give him a buzz.
I didn't think I was going to have all this summarized here. Lifeline connections. We were getting monthly or quarterly reports. They were doing really well.
Yeah, they're
we
current.
may have gone to quarterly reports instead of monthly. For a while we were monthly. Yeah.
I get a report from Melissa Burcham in the auditor's office every month telling me whether they're current, and they are.
I think they're doing great, and I think that under new leadership and...
Oh, Jared Sanford's doing a great job. Yeah. They've paid off the bank loan that they had.
Awesome.
And when they're done paying us, their financial situation.
Did we get a thank you from the bank? We should have had a thank you from the bank. In fact, they should have been out here really helping us here. I think we may have started that. There were some conversations. We have had staff already, park staff, went up to, what's the name of that new park?
Camp Hope.
The one that
was given to us by the state.
Shoot, I just had the name of it. It was the one that the DNR, the state, the state campground.
The one that you gave me the keys for a while.
Is that near Woodland?
What's his name? Jerky?
Bill Bierke,
park guy, yeah.
So I understand he's had a crew up there making improvements. And then Mr. Benton, who did he take up there? He took someone up there. Oh, he took Jim Vandling up there to look at the undergrowth and whatnot. And so I think they're going to come back with a plan. And I think, and I might be way behind on this, that they also have a Camp Bonneville a maintenance program going on. And what I understand...
A tree maintenance?
Yeah. What they have is that if they have a harvest plan, they could keep the healthy forest all along. And some of the things that I understand is that the growth of the trees were like at 3%.
Yeah.
And since we've done the harvest, they've gone to like 8 or 9 percent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about healthy forest.
Yeah, they have an ongoing program at Bonneville.
Yeah.
It's earning quite a bit of revenue for the county.
So we have that through Benton or Jim Vandley's or through Parks or...
Public Works, Jerry Barnett, he's the controller of the fund. Vandling is managing the forestry program, though.
Yeah. That's all I'm prepared to talk about.
Okay. I might point out that pretty soon we're going to have an online version of this on SharePoint that you'll be able to go to look for updates, and staff will be providing updates on a recurring basis.
Excellent. Doing good.
So I will I'll share that with you so you can take a look at it.
Okay. That's good, because one of the things that prompted this is that we do so many things, and after a while, we dispatch it down to the department, and we never hear back.
Yeah.
And then something just got busy and got forgotten, overlooked, and at the time they were really busy, but they're important too. So.
It's good to have a list.
Mr. Administrator, what do you have for us?
I have nothing. A quiet week. A lot of folks earned some well-deserved time off with their families, kids out of school. So, you know, Marty's at Disneyland, awesome. And you know, Don Benton's off with his kids, and Heath Henderson's off with his kids.
Yes.
So the treadmill starts back up at full speed on Monday. And so I think...
Were you talking about taking a vacation here?
Yeah, I've had a little time off. I have to check on the schedule and let you know.
Let me know, because you know, if I can't do anything, it'd be a good time for me to go.
Sure.
I am on a daily basis with my brother. I would like to go see him. I think that he's really gone downhill, and he's made it through one criteria, and he's not doing any better. They put him into acute care. So I'm going to try to get 3 or 4 days to get up there in between. I probably should have done it this week, huh?
Where?
Spokane.
Okay.
So I'm looking for that little window.
Okay.
Maybe after the hearing next week.
I will let you know.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
That's it, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lots of stuff.